Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson, especially verse 48. And Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." That and the extension of the Old Testament lesson. But let's get into this. Let's first start out by just getting out of the way some of the misconceptions that people might have, right? Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus to come and eat at his house, and in the course of the meal, there was this woman. She was a sinner, and she was there washing Jesus' feet, drying them, anointing his feet. She was a sinner, and Simon the Pharisee was very offended because there was a sinner there. Think Simon the Pharisee is missing something? Yeah. Okay. So let's just wipe those things out here. If Jesus was not going to eat with sinners, who was there left? With apologies, that may happen a couple more times after vacation Bible school week. Okay. The woman, was she a sinner? Yeah. How much sin? A lot. Okay. Simon the Pharisee, was he a sinner? How much sin? A lot. You? Sinner. How much sin? How much sin? A lot. A lot. Okay. Here's a general rule that is true in all cases. It is possible to enumerate more sins in your own life and in your own soul than you can enumerate in anybody else's, because you can't see inside their soul to see all of those extra little sins inside the soul. They can't see inside yours to see all those extra sins. All you can see is inside your own. So the enumerating of sin for yourself is huge. Simon the Pharisee hasn't figured that out quite yet, has he? And sin. Sin is dealt with by the Lamb of God who forgives the sin. But it gets more complex. We'll go back into the Old Testament lesson. It's the story of David. David, who committed adultery with Bathsheba, it was about to be found out, and so he arranged for Uriah the Hittite, her husband, to be murdered. Know how he did it? He sent a note with Uriah. Uriah carried this sealed note back to the front lines to his commander, and the note said, "Put Uriah in the front of the lines and whisper to everybody else, tell them a secret signal, and when that signal is given, everybody else suddenly pulls back, and Uriah the Hittite's left there, surrounded by the enemy, and Uriah dies." Hey, good plan. Nobody's going to find out, right? Two problems with that. Well, three. Number one, you know. Number two, God knows. And number three, there's a problem with getting away with sin. It does something inside the soul. So David, he seemed to get away with it, except that God knew, and God sent Nathan, and Nathan told David the story about the two men, and the one rich and the other very poor with only one little lamb, and the rich man steals the poor man's lamb and prepares it for a dinner for a guest, and David says the man who has done this deserves to die, and he's absolutely right, and Nathan says, "You are the man." And David says, "I've sinned against the Lord." He learns humility. He learns repentance. He learns forgiveness. and he learned another lesson that he wasn't supposed to learn. See, for all appearances, David did get away with it. He got a scolding. You guys know what getting a scolding is. But David didn't get deposed as king. He deserved to die. Did he die for it? No. He went on with his kingship and everything seemed to be cool. So he learns the wrong lesson in part, getting away with sin. Is that lesson dangerous for us too? Oh, well, I can go out and I can do this, I can do that, I can run to this sin and run to that sin, and then when I'm done with it, I'll just come back and I'll have the confession and absolution, and that'll be it, and the next week I can go and run after those sins again. And that's why the confession written for today says we often act as if we are entitled to forgiveness, entitled to grace. We learn the wrong lesson. Forgiveness is given over and over and over again, and do we drift into thinking, well, this is a great arrangement? And David continues on in his kingship, and the rest of the story goes like this. His children are raised believing that they're entitled. One son, well, rapes a half-sister. Another sin takes it into his own hands and murders that one. So you got the sixth commandment, the fifth commandment, and then there's Absalom, who is not punished by David, really. Absalom learns, I can get away with sin. And he decides to take over the throne and deposes David. And now David is riding along, fleeing for his life, and in this follow-up lesson, he comes to a certain village. I wrote the reference by the sermon title, 2 Samuel 16. When King David came to Baharim, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. And as he came, he cursed continually, and he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men who were on his right hand and on his left. And Shimei said as he cursed, get out, you man of blood, you worthless man. The Lord has avenged on you all the blood of the house of Saul. See, your evil is on you, for you are a man of blood. Then Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog come curse my lord the king? Let me go over and take off his head. But the king said, leave him alone. Let him curse. For the Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing today. Powerful lesson there. David has learned the consequences of getting away with sin. He's begun to live as if God doesn't see, God doesn't punish, God doesn't matter. I can do whatever I want. It's dangerous for the soul. David has begun to live like he is in a universe where there is no God. And no right and wrong, and no justice. That's dangerous for the soul. Because you see, if there's no right and wrong, if it doesn't matter what you do and there are no consequences, then nothing you do matters. If nothing you do matters, then guess what else doesn't matter either? You don't. It's an empty universe. So many people are living in that so-called empty universe. David sees himself, and he's right on the precipice. He's right at the edge. He's carried on acting as if God doesn't matter. Can he accept living in that way anymore? And the answer is no. His soul cries out. His soul cries out to God. His soul cries out to God for a word of God, something from God to him to say true and false, right and wrong. This matters. David cannot endure not mattering. And so when the cursing from Shimei comes to David, it's more than what the words say. It's that this is from God. There is a God. He really is there, and I matter. It's life and salvation to him to have a word from God. Even if that word is law, even if that word is judgment, even if that word is a curse, because you know what happens after the word of God comes to us as law and judgment? There's another word that comes along right after that. When we take the word of law and the word of judgment into ourselves and say, yes, that is the word of God, then God brings along his other word right after that, and it's the word of forgiveness. It's the word of life. It is the word of the Savior, of Jesus Christ, of the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin, who takes all of the wrong, all of the living as if there were no God. Think about that. Hold that in mind. Who takes all of the living as if there were no God and carries it to the cross. And what does Jesus do on the cross? He hangs there with heaven silenced and God turning away. And Jesus there in darkness. Here comes the words. There in darkness as if there were no God. As if he was judged and condemned and there were no God for him to speak forgiveness and life and salvation, and cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, David, simply at the edge of that, Jesus went fully into it, into those hours of darkness. Went there for us. Because that, after all, is what Adam and Eve headed toward, what David headed toward, what we had toward in our lives, what Simon the Pharisee headed toward, although he didn't realize it. When Simon the Pharisee points at someone else and says, ooh, their sin, not my sin, their sin. You don't have to deal with me as a sinner. They're a sinner. He's missing the word of God. And Jesus brings that word of God to Simon the Pharisee, exactly where Simon the Pharisee is, so that Simon the Pharisee can have the word of God grab a hold of him. And that word of God also then given promise forgiveness. That's what we receive. Week after week, the word of God coming to us with forgiveness. Day after day, the word of God telling us that we are redeemed, we are saved, we are bought at the great price of Christ's own blood and suffering and death and forsakenness, so that we can be brought back into being connected with God, into having his word with us and in us, into having the word of God, the forgiveness of God, the love of God, the gospel of God in Jesus Christ come to us. How much we desperately need that word of God illustrated by David. Let him curse. Let me paraphrase. Let him curse. If that's a word of God, it's a word of God, and I need a word of God. Knowing that the word of God will not leave off with the curse, but will pronounce the forgiveness. And so Jesus, after, my God, why have you forsaken me? Then says, it is finished. And the curse is ended and salvation is bought complete and full and given as a gift. And we receive it. And then he turns us around and he says, do you see your neighbor there? Yeah. The one who hasn't had the word of God. You know what it's like to be without the word of God? Here, you have the word of God there in your soul. Go. In Jesus' name. Amen.